Let me tell you the order of service for this morning. We are going to have the cantata in two parts, and in between we shall have the Lord's Supper, to which we invite all those who love the Lord Jesus. Holy Father, we cannot be reminded often enough of the events which we shall be singing and thinking about this morning. And so we thank you for another reminder that will take us to the cross. Lord, when we go there, we see more clearly those things which touch our souls at the deepest part. We realize again just how holy you are and how serious you regard sin, and what a price had to be paid for it. We realize again your amazing patience with the rebellious hearts of men. Waiting all those centuries, you knew you were going to send your son, and yet you waited. You sent servant after son, and finally you sent your son and said, surely they will respect him, and they did not. And on this dreadful day, we feel our share and our shame in these events. Lord, it was just ordinary human beings like ourselves who took your son and nailed him to that cross. But Lord, it is a funny mixture of emotion that we bring to this service. We're sad and yet we're glad. We're sorry that it was so necessary, but we're glad that you did it. We're sorry that we sinned, but we're glad that you saved. We're sorry that the Lord had to go through with it, but we're glad that he did. And we praise you that it's all over now, that it will never need to be done again, that his work is complete, that it is finished, and that we can come now and sing about it and glory in it. And around that act of execution, there now shines the glory of your eternal purpose. We see it all now. We understand by your Holy Spirit's teaching. And so we're glad to come this morning and listen to the choir and ask that as they sing to us, we may be lifted out of ourselves and may find in our hearts a love for you kindled afresh, almost as if we'd never heard about it before. Lord, may they sing with a freshness and a beauty and a heartfelt gratitude that will communicate to all of us something of the wonder of your great love. We're conscious that there are many people who will not be paying any attention to these things on this day, who will regard it purely as a holiday for themselves. Lord, in some way remind them of your love. In some way, show them your mercy. And Lord, there are still millions who have never heard and who need to know that you love them so much. We would therefore pray for those who seek to tell them, and those who on this Good Friday are far from home because you called them to spread the good news. You told them to leave behind loved ones and comforts and go and take this news to those who needed to hear it. We pray for them on this day, that they too may be encouraged and lifted up. In the cross of Christ we glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. So, Lord, hear our prayer, receive our praise as we sing to you and as we listen to the music inspired by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who had mercy upon us, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now the choir is going to lead us, and you have the hymns on a sheet of paper in which we will be joining with them.
Jesus paused and gazed with tearful eye while the hushed multitude stood wondering
divine, the temple of my heart, come make it thine. Drive Thank you.
and he will give you,
remain standing. Let your minds and hearts dwell on that little word, come. It's one of the loveliest words in the Bible. God uses it again and again. Come. If you're hungry or thirsty, come. There's bread that doesn't cost anything. There's wine to drink. It's free. Come. At the final marriage supper of the Lamb, the invitation will be, come, for all things are now ready. It's the same word with which we respond. I come. Just think of the miracle that we can come just as we are. There's no other religion says that. Every other faith says you must first do this, you must first do that. But our Savior says, come just as you are. Almost as if you were in the middle of your daily work and had dirty hands and had an invitation to Buckingham Palace. You felt, I can't go like this. But on the invitation it said, come just as you are. The King of Kings, inviting us into his royal presence, doesn't say first do this, first do that. He says, come just as you are. I know what you are. But come. And it's the cross that made that possible. That's why we are now going to come to this table and remember that he opened the way into the Holy of Holies, through the veil of his flesh, and allowed us to come into the presence of God himself, just as we were. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for touching us again by your Spirit. Thank you for inviting us to come to this table just as we are. Thank you that you wait to welcome us and to feed us and to refresh us for your name's sake. Amen. Will you be seated? Each Good Friday during the last few years, I've brought to you a very short meditation on a word of Jesus from the cross. And this year I have been thinking very much about those three little words that he cried at the end, "It is finished." Those words were in everybody's mind, but not in everybody's lips. They were in the minds of the soldiers. It was a very nasty job crucifying a man, nailing him to blocks of wood and then sitting there on guard while he died. It was a horrible job. And they were saying, it's finished, we can go home. The nasty job is done. The crowd was saying, it's finished. The spectacle was over, and just as crowds used to turn up at Tyburn near Marble Arch to watch people being hung by the hundreds, up to the 18th century in England. So they turned up for a crucifixion. It was a spectacle. And for them it was over and they could go home. For the priests they could say, well, that was a tricky situation, but we're through it now. We shall have no more problems with this man. It's finished. And for Pontius Pilate, who had already washed his hands of the whole business, he could go to bed that night and hope that his wife wouldn't be having dreams about this just man. And Pilate was saying, well, that's another crisis averted. It's finished. And Mary, the mother, was going home and saying, my relationship with my son is finished. From now on I live with John, and he is my son, and I'm his mother. And the disciples were saying, it is finished. All our hopes are shattered and our dreams are gone. Even our faith in God is shaken to its roots. They were all saying in their hearts, It is finished. But when Jesus said it, he didn't mean any of those things. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that it was shouted. He cried out. This was not the cry of a victim reaching his last gasp. This was a shout of triumph. It's finished. It could have been relief that the pain and the agony were over. It could have been that. But I see something much more in those three words. If you read the verse before in John's Gospel, it says, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished. And at 33, he had done everything the Lord told him to do. Everything. Now, I don't think he was referring to his miracles or his teaching, because he has continued those. Indeed, in the first verse of the book of Acts, Dr. Luke writes, in my former volume, referring to the Gospel, I wrote to you about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, so that he has continued those things. But when he said it's finished, he referred not to his life, but to his death. He had drained the cup of God's wrath to the last drop, and he cried out, it's finished. And the kingdom of evil must have trembled to its foundations when he cried that. And when we come and take the bread and wine, we do so to remember the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is nothing I can do to add to what he has done to pay for my sin. Most of us would, I think, for reasons of pride, prefer God to say to us, do this in addition. This is your part. But God said, no, I've done it all. There is nothing more to be done. Your quest for forgiveness is finished. You come to the cross, and there is nothing more for you to do. You do not need to pay. You never will have to pay. It has all been paid. And that is the sense of the words, it is finished. As if Jesus paid your debt and wrote his name across it, and you will never hear of it again. The finished work of Jesus. Listen to how one writer described it. Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our position with all its consequences, that we might have his position with all its consequences. He was treated as sin upon the cross, that we might be treated as righteous in the presence of a holy God. He had to endure the hiding of God's countenance from him, that we might bask in the light of that countenance. He had to pass through 3 hours of darkness, that we might live in everlasting light. He was forsaken of God for a time, that we might enjoy the presence of God forever. Everything that was due to us sinners, ruined by the fall, was laid upon him in order that all that was due to him as the accomplisher of our redemption might be ours. There was everything against him when he hung upon the accursed tree, that there might be nothing against us. He was identified with us in the reality of death and judgment in order that we might be identified with him in the reality of life and righteousness. Let us bow our heads. It is because his work was finished that we can come just as we are. If he had not done all that needed to be done, we would have had to pay. We would have had to prepare ourselves. We would have had to make our journey to God, but he made it to us, and so we come. So we invite you to take this bread and wine, not because you deserve it or because you are worthy, but because he invites you to do so.
had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and they passed over the brook Kidron unto the Garden of Gethsemane. Then said he unto them, tarry.
Oh. Father, into thy hands. bow our heads in prayer. O Saviour of the world, the Son, Lord Jesus, stir up your strength and help us, we humbly beseech you. By your cross and precious blood you have redeemed us. Save us and help us, we humbly beseech you. You saved your disciples when ready to perish. Hear us and save us, we humbly beseech you. Let the pitifulness of your great mercy loose us from our sins, we humbly beseech you. Make it appear that you are our Saviour and mighty Deliverer. O save us that we may praise you, we humbly beseech you. Draw near according to your promise from the throne of your glory. Look down and hear our crying, we humbly beseech you. Come again and dwell with us, O Lord Christ Jesus. Abide with us forever, we humbly beseech you. And when you shall appear with power and great glory, may we be made like you in your glorious kingdom. Thanks be to you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.